This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
It is Stacey Cole and Cheryl Hughes. Oh, my God.
You know
Cheryl
what? Hughes.
I know your name, Carol.
You know what, though? I have a sister named Cheryl Hughes, so you just introduced my sister. That's so awesome. And you had no idea.
Well, I just had the crap kicked out of me in kickboxing, so.
I love that you called me my sister's name.
Carol, I'm so sorry. What a dork. But yeah, whatever. And and actually, I do want to point something out. You know, I know a lot of people are really into true crime, and I love that they are. And I've heard people in my circles go, I listen to way too much true crime, which there is no such thing. But I want to say that I was at kickboxing this morning, and the reason that I got started with kickboxing was because Rex Huerman scares the crap out of me. And that's the Long Island serial killer, the alleged.
Yeah.
When we started doing stories about him, he terrified me. And I've said it to Tony so many times that I don't want to be here when he's in trial. I don't want to cover it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to do anything with him. But I decided to empower myself and start taking self-defense and things like that. So I kind of owe some of my, you know, getting in shape kind of thing to a creepy alleged murderer. It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it?
I do think it's a great idea, though. I mean, because we're very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good idea to know how to protect yourself.
It is.
So and I think that's a great
idea. One of the martial arts that I'm doing is called Kali, and it's a Filipino martial art, and it's brutal. I mean, it's not just about get away and not become a victim. It's about, okay, somebody's attacking me. Here's how I gouge their eyes out. If they have a knife, I'm going to disarm them. And then I'm going to pick up the knife and I'm coming after you. It's just to me, it's just lovely. Like instead of, I'm just going to clear the way so I can get away, I'm going to make sure that you pay for what you've done. And that's not a very martial art thing to say out loud. And I'm sure people are like, that's not right. But it's also about leaving your mark. So that especially, you know, as a 4'9" woman, you've got some DNA under your fingernails. You've gouged out their eyes. They're going to need some medical care. They're going to get caught. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So, that doesn't lead us into a Rex Huerman story. But it leads us into a story out of Kentucky that we've been following. And every now and then we get a little tidbit of what's going on in Kentucky. This is about that former sheriff from Lecter County, Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins, who stands accused of shooting and killing District Judge Kevin Mullins inside his chambers. And this wasn't some cold, calculated act. His defense is insisting that it was a mental break, triggered by fear, stress, and small-town scandal that just might make your jaw hit the floor when you really dig into this. So here's the whole thing. It was caught on video. If you are not up to speed on this story, Mickey Steins, the sheriff, walked into Judge Mullins' office, fired 8 shots at him. Now, that much is undisputed. It's on camera. But what followed is where things really got messy and very unsettling. Steins has pleaded not guilty, and now his attorney, Jeremy Bartley, is laying the groundwork for an insanity defense, saying that the ex-sheriff suffered from a mental disease or defect and was also under extreme emotional disturbance when he pulled that trigger. Basically, the defense isn't arguing about what happened. They're arguing about why. And the why has roots in something really dark, and that's why we're following the story. It isn't just somebody snapped and shot somebody. A few days before the shooting, Steins gave a deposition in a case involving one of his former deputies, Ben Fields. That guy, he has been accused of coercing female inmates into sex in exchange for staying out of jail. Now, if you ever watched the Orange is the New Black, this is kind of a real-life version, but less scripted and way more disturbing. One of the accusers, Sabrina Adkins, claimed that she was forced to have sex with Field for 6 months inside the judge's chambers. That's the same place the murder took place. According to Bartley, Stein's deposition forced him to answer some very uncomfortable questions about all of it. And afterward, The sheriff allegedly felt like his entire world was closing in, that his testimony had painted a target on his back. He feared that the fallout from the deposition would threaten not just his job or reputation, but the lives of his wife and daughter. Now, when police arrested Steins after the shooting, he reportedly shouted, "They're trying to kidnap my wife and kid." So in his mind, something was really wrong. It's worth noting that the judge, Kevin Mullins, wasn't just some random guy to Steins. They were close friends. As a matter of fact, they had had lunch before this shooting. They went to the street-side grill and bar down the street from the courthouse. The two had lunch, the same order, the same table. This is something that they had done for years. They were friends. And then hours later, Steins walks into his office and shoots him. On surveillance footage.
I still don't quite get it.
There's something missing here.
Yes.
Now, prosecutors are saying that the shooting seemed to come out of nowhere. Now, investigators are digging into another possible motive, jealousy or betrayal. It's been suggested that Steins may have seen his daughter's phone number in Mullins's phone, which sent him into a tailspin. Now, surveillance footage is showing Steins trying to call his daughter from his phone and then using the judge's phone too. What exactly he saw on the screen remains unclear, but the implication is that whatever he discovered is what tripped his trigger.
Literally.
And that was my thing all along. There was something to do with his daughter. When they mentioned his daughter, I went, you know, she must have come up on his phone in some way, or she answered a certain way that and didn't realize it was dad. Something.
Did something happen at lunch that made him suspicious and made him angry? So he went back to confront him after lunch? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. This is just such an ugly case. Sabrina Adkins, the accuser, didn't just name Fields. She's claiming that Mullins has videotapes of, quote, sexual stuff happening in his chambers. I mean, that's a big story in itself.
And that's the other thing. So if he was testifying in this other deputy's case, that the other deputy is accused of having sex in this judge's chamber, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how, that's like my office and somebody's coming into my office and having sex. I don't think so. So it almost feels like the judge knew, was he also doing the same thing? Because you just don't go into somebody, a judge's chambers.
No.
And have sex.
You know, and the other thing I'm thinking is, okay, so maybe you know what the judge's schedule is, what's on their docket, they're not going to be in their office, I can go in and use it, and they're not going to know. But these judges go back to their office all the time. There's breaks, unscheduled breaks, usually, I think. You know, they may decide, okay, well, let's take a short recess. You know, somebody's not feeling well. Let's, you know, just take a break. And they run back to their office. I can't see the judge not knowing somebody was using their office.
I mean, I worked in rock radio in the 90s, and I had the only office that had a sofa in it. I know what was happening in my office when I wasn't there, and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because it just felt so disrespectful. That's my office. Those are my things. And you know, then I'd come in on a Monday morning. And I'd be like, God dang it.
Yeah,
I could just
like,
tell.
Oh, I moved. Know what happened here.
Yeah. And I mean, I worked in rock radio. This is a judge.
Yeah.
You know, like you just don't go into his office and do that unless you have permission. So maybe there's a bigger story here, but then if there is a bigger story, it almost seems like now Steins is trying to not, you know, by saying in some insanity thing, like he just snapped. So he's not even, it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I still feel like there's more, that there's something, there's a reason he was triggered.
Yeah. The thing about kidnapping, I wonder if a threat was laid out. Maybe at lunch, like, hey, you know, what you just did in the deposition just jeopardize me. So now your life's about to turn upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they had time to think, that drive back to the courthouse after having lunch, it just all came to a grinding halt.
Because something triggered all that.
Had to have. I just don't think somebody snaps like that, especially somebody in law enforcement. I can't see them snapping like that. It had, there's some buildup there. Something mm-hmm. had to have pressured him to feel like his world was about to crumble and he needed to do something.
It's really, it's a sad, sad situation all the way around.
Because
it sounds like he was a stand-up guy at one time, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now he's going to be in jail for years.
It'll be interesting to dig a bit into his mental health. But the corruption within this system, I mean, it reminds me of Mayberry, you know, going back to the 70s. Just, wow. Everybody knows everybody. It's small town justice, you know, and there's a dark side to it, isn't there?
Very dark.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.